Welcome to Girls Will Be Ghouls. This is episode 4. I'm Zena Dixon, realqueenofhorror.com, and I'm here with Ashley Blackwell, graveyardshiftsisters.com. Ashley.
Hello, everybody.
Today, we have an awesome treat. All the time when we do episodes, it's a treat, so whatever. But basically, today we're going to be talking about our favorite voodoo-inspired horror movies and then a voodoo-inspired horror movie that we don't really care for. After that, we're going to start talking about A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
So we have some upfront. We want to give our condolences to the families of both Betsy Palmer, who died on May 29th, and she was 88. And also today, we found out that Christopher Lee died.
Yes.
He was 93 years old. He died on June 7th, they're reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy Palmer, anyone who's a horror fan knows her as Pamela Voorhees, Jason's mom from Friday the 13th, Part 1. And Christopher Lee has been in so many movies.
Yes.
I can't even name them all. The ones that stand out to me as a horror fan are clearly the Hammer horror films. Most recently, A Dear Friend of Mine. We get together and watch movies quite often with another friend of ours. But this one particular friend, she's, you know, crazy about Hammer horror. And she's introduced me to a lot more of Christopher Lee's work. And it's been a treat. And so it's interesting that I finally was picking up some speed on some Christopher Lee movies as he has passed away just this week. So, sad news for the horror community for sure, but these two individuals led very, very long lives. And so that I'm happy for that in particular.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. Like, it is, it's sad, it's terrible, but at the same time, like, their lives were so full and look what they left behind, you know?
Yeah. It's funny, some people were saying, because I don't know, I didn't read the particular article, but one, I think a mainstream online publication called Betsy Palmer, the Killer Cook, and some horror fans were just kind of huffing and puffing about that. I'm like, she's more than a killer cook. I mean, did you even see Friday 13th Part 1? So, like, I get it, because as a horror fan, but yeah, Betsy was much more than that. She had a career well outside of, you know, being Pamela Voorhees as well,
mm-hmm.
So, for sure.
You know, this is kind of off topic, but with Christopher Lee, there's a movie that I used to watch as a kid, and it's not a horror movie, but I absolutely loved it, called A Feast at Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in 1994, and basically it was about, like, this new student. He starts going to this private, like, he used to go to public school. Now he goes to this private all-boys school, and they're not allowed to do pretty much anything. And they're barely allowed to, like, eat anything. And I just thought it was cool because it was more of, like, a comedy family movie. It was for
mm-hmm.
kids, you know. And his character, he played a teacher in there, and the kids, they weren't really fond of him at all, you know. But it was pretty cool just looking back on that.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably a movie I've seen in passing when
mm-hmm.
I was younger, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's the thing about Christopher Lee. Like, he did so many different types of movies. So everyone has kind of an image of them of him in their head, particularly. Like, for me, it's Dracula, clearly. But for other people, it's so many other different characters. So you're absolutely right. So some other stuff. Moving on to some more interesting news. Xena has been very busy. Xena was at Spooky Empire. Real Queen of Horror just had their 4th anniversary. Xena was also on Watching Movies and Shit podcast and Nightmare 365 podcast. So, Xena, if you can recap all of that, that would be nice.
Okay, so I'm going to try to keep it rolling. So, when I went to Spooky Empire, I went last month in May. I've never been to a horror convention either because low on money, didn't have the time, just always something would always come up all the time. Then I remember when you suggested to me, hey, you know, why don't you go try it out, see if you like it. So then I went and I was completely blown away. It's this is going to sound so dramatic and over the top, but it's the truth. It's so, like, life-changing when you go to, like, a horror convention and you absolutely love horror movies. Everybody was super-duper nice. Like, just, you were able to have a conversation with anybody about anything, even beyond the horror. And I met a lot of cool people. I know while I was there, I only went one day. I went on a Saturday. And, like, people who were there, there was people from... There was a couple of people from American Horror Story Freak Show. Too many to list, but, yeah, there was a lot of them there. Ernie Hudson was there, EJ Daly, some cast members from Face Off, which was pretty awesome. But I remember telling you I'm not too big of a fan. Like, I think I only watched one season, which was either the second or the third season. Mm-hmm. So with all these, like, with a lot of them, I didn't know who they were, unfortunately. Then there was also something, just a lot of questions and answering kind of things going on. One that I thought was pretty cool was they had, like, the haunted, like, a haunted tour there, basically, where, you know, they would have, like, different attractions, haunted attractions all in one place, which was pretty cool just to come across that. It wasn't only just in Florida, because this took place in Orlando. There was people who was from Wisconsin, from Montana, New York, Maine, even Canada, you know, which was pretty cool. I've also only bought one thing, which I told you was this, it's a hair clip, like a hair bow, and it's also a bow tie, and it was by this, this small company, like they do, little accessories called Unorthodox with two X's. I forgot the girl's name who ran it, but she was so nice and helpful, and, her little bow was, I don't know, I've never seen anything like it. Obviously, you can't buy that in a store, but you can go to her website. It's heylittlemonsta.com. That's heylilmonsta.com. She has some other cool things up there. The most amazing thing happened to me, which was super duper awesome, that blew my life away. So I was telling you about the attractions, haunted houses or locations. There was this one location that I felt stood out from the rest of the ones that I've came across, the shallow grave. So I was walking around, I stopped at their table because I wanted to get a picture with one of their creatures and also just see if, hey, do they offer, you know, bloggers to come aboard and have like a walkthrough tour kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So then the guy who I asked, you know, before I could even ask him, he says to me, aren't you real Queen of Horror? And, you know, that blew my mind because I remember when I first started, I said to myself, the day that that happens or if that even happens, it's like, that's a day for me to be, like, fully proud of. Like, I know I don't always post the most unique things onto the website, and I know that they can go to other places to get the information, but just the fact that, you know, they go to Real Queen of Horror, that's definitely just, you know, something to be really, really proud of. So
for sure, you're a celebrity. I think that's kind of cool. I've never been recognized at a horror convention. I don't expect to at all, but I think it's really cool that you were.
I'm pretty sure that you will as well.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You know, but I did want to say something about, I want to reassure you about horror conventions. So basically, you know, you weren't being over the top. That is how a lot of people feel when they go to a horror convention, because yeah, you kind of keep, you know, your horror fandom a little bit in check when you're around quote normal people,
right?
But you know, and when you go to these conventions, I can only speak for myself, but I've heard, you know, I've watched different documentaries. There's a great documentary called Phantasm that kind of goes around and talks to people, horror fans who are at horror conventions, and you know, I have the same kind of ideas about them. It's like, you know, you go there and you feel so welcomed. You mostly have a really good experience with other people, with complete strangers. And for me, it's the same way. Like, I pretty much blossom when I go. I've been to quite a few. I've been to, you know, I'm in Philly, but I've been to conventions in New Jersey, Maryland, Ohio. So I've gone around quite a bit. And every time I go, especially Maryland was probably my favorite experience. I've also been in Massachusetts, but Maryland... Mm-hmm. It was just so, I don't know, like, you just, I open up. Like, I'm a very naturally introverted person, but when I get there, I'm talking to everybody, and I'm happy, I'm smiling, I'm just a person that a lot of people wouldn't recognize, because right. This is my element, and this is, you know, being around people who love horror as much as I do, it's you kind of feed off of each other's energy.
Right.
And so I want to reassure you, when you go again, it's going to, you know, hopefully the same feeling. I always consistently have the same feeling when I go to conventions, but like, I just, like, a lot of horror fans feel the same way you do.
As far as it goes with Nightmare 365 podcast, it was pretty awesome because Matt contacted me and asked me if I wanted to come on to his podcast. He got the movie Patrick. It's Australian. The original one is an Australian movie. And it was a really great laid-back conversation. I can tell that he really just loves talking about, you know, about horror. Find him at nightmare365.com, and his Twitter handle is nightmare365.com, C-O-M. So in case you want to follow him on there, it was a really awesome experience. Plus, I know that he contacted you as well, right?
Yeah, and we're going to hopefully talk in July.
Did you guys pick out a movie, or you know what the topic's going to be yet?
No, because he kind of contacted me in a general sense and just told me that you put him on to me,
mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of asked him because when I'm asked these questions, I'm just like, I just want to have an idea of like what the person wants to kind of talk about, and he was pretty general, so I'm assuming when he gets back in contact with me next month, we're gonna kind of gel things together and talk about whatever. So we'll see. I'm excited. I'm always excited to talk about horror. So I'm always happy when people contact me and are interested in talking on a podcast or a panel or wherever. So I'm always game. History has always kind of had an evil connotation. It's always about, you know, the rituals of voodoo itself being looked at as something that is abject or abnormal. You know, dealing with like evil rituals, nude dancing, drums, snakes, fire. You know, commonly voodoo was looked at as exploitative treatment of blacks and black religion. One example that Dr. Coleman, she wrote a book called Horror Noir. I've talked about it before. I've cited it on my website so many times. She also mentioned a book by William Seabrook called The Magic Island. And I believe Seabrook was a Marine in Haiti, and he talked about his accounts with, you know, Haitians and their use of, quote, zombie making. And it's not a book that's very palatable for someone who is anti-racist, because it does have racist connotations to it. The culture of Haitians and these American Marines at the time, this was in the late 1920s, was very hostile. You know, they were seen as Haitians were seen as savages, and the U.S. Marines were completely were unwelcomed in some aspects. So he wrote this book about zombie making, and there's a quote from the book I wanted to read. It says, "In the red light of torches, which made the moon turn pale, leaping, screaming, writhing black bodies, blood-maddened, sex-maddened, god-maddened, drunken, whirled in a dance, their dark saturnalia, heads thrown weirdly back as if their necks were broken, white teeth and eyeballs gleaming." So he has this, you know, this very kind of, It's kind of, I guess, it's like sensational, and the use of his language is, it's meant to kind of repulse you. That's my interpretation.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the general, a little bit of a taste of like how voodoo was perceived, you know, and not just in film, but in real life. It just kind of translated into film. So Voodoo Fires from 1913 is basically a manifestation of those kind of accounts. As far as, I think the best, I would say arguably the best known uses of voodoo in horror films in particular is the idea with zombies,
mm-hmm.
which didn't show up until 1932 with White Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Xena, have you seen White Zombie?
I have seen White Zombie.
What did you think?
I'm going to be honest with you, and I know people get so mad at me when I'm like, I didn't like it, but I didn't like it, Ashley. I did not like the movie. I'm sorry. I know that it's a classic.
I
feel bad. Like, I just, I didn't like it. to be honest with you, the last time I saw it, I think it was because I didn't watch it too long ago. It was probably maybe like 2 years ago. I remember it was very short. Wasn't it only maybe about 60, 65 minutes or so? Mm-hmm. It's filmed well, especially for the time. So.
Yeah, I don't think you have to apologize. There are plenty of classics and plenty of like well-received horror films that, you know, I don't like that, you know, that I don't like. So I don't think you have to apologize for not liking it. What was it about the movie that you didn't like? Did you not like the pacing, the story, characters?
It was more of the pacing. Such a short movie, it took a while for things to get started.
Right.
So
I'm not surprised, yeah.
It just kind of threw me off. It's like, I don't get me wrong, like I feel bad for saying it. And it's like, I know like I shouldn't, because it's just my opinion. But just the fact that, you know, it's a classic, it's kind of paved the way and everything, but it just, I don't know, it just wasn't for me. I wanted to like it, if that helps.
I mean, I guess I don't think you have to apologize so much for not liking it. Again, I think with certain movies that, especially that are iconic, you appreciate them for what they did. Like, White Zombie was the first film to really introduce the zombie as a monster, or the zombie character in general,
mm-hmm.
before Night of the Living Dead, people. And so that's why it's important. If it's okay to appreciate and note its importance for what it did for, you know, the zombie subgenre or horror in general. You don't have to like it. That's just me.
Right.
It's interesting because later on in certain films, the use of zombies and zombification still kind of persisted wildly, clearly, in the kind of voodoo subgenre. And even there are different other aspects of voodoo that's used in certain movies. But I always found the zombification thing interesting because, you know, for me, my real first introduction to a voodoo type of a horror film that uses voodoo heavily in its themes was The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I think just, it was weird how this conversation came up. We must have been talking about it in passing. I was in high school, so I was a teenager, and my friend Cassandra was, you know, born and raised in Haiti. So just the first few years of her life, because she spent most of her life in America, but she comes from a very, very big family, and a very, 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 very traditional family. I think her family was, they were Christian, like hardcore Christians. I don't think they practiced any kind of religious practice or had a different faith outside of Christianity. But what was interesting to me was, you know, I think we were just kind of talking about it, and she mentioned, she's like, okay, so you know that stuff isn't real, right? And I'm like, what stuff? And like, she's like, the zombification, the powder, all those kind of practices. And I was like, really? And she was like, well, here's the story. She said, she was talking about how when she was a baby living in Haiti and in her village, her mother, you know, she has like 9 siblings. Something like that. She had a very, very large family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she was like maybe, I think she was the second born. So, but this was still kind of, but the fact that her mother was fertile, period, made a lot of the other women in the village jealous, because I assumed, she said apparently they couldn't conceive the way her mother could. So, you know, that concoction, that powder that they use, if you've seen Serpent in the Rainbow, you know what I'm talking about, the reference. So it was sprinkled on her steps and on her porch. And she was apparently, I think her mother probably told her the story, or someone in her family, because she was too young, I remember, but she was a toddler. She was kind of crawling on the porch, crawling on the steps, and she succumbed to I think it's a neurotoxin that makes you think that makes someone or anyone think that you're dead for a short period of time. And so her mother thought she was dead, and apparently, you know, her mother freaked out, was running all over the village, asking someone to help her with her child. That's terrifying. If I was a mother, I don't know what I probably would have done the same thing. But I just think it's interesting to hear like a real life account of someone who went through this, and also that, you know, voodoo is not all bad. I do want to say that. I mean, like, you know, and there's different aspects of voodoo and hoodoo, and then there's Haitian voodoo, and then there's New Orleans voodoo. So there's different variations, but what I believe, you know, there's also, they use a lot of different aspects of Christianity as well as their own West African religions. But also keep in mind is that any kind of faith is about balance. There are concepts that are akin to good and concepts that work in the realm of evil. So there's this balance. So it's not all bad. But her story made me realize that, yeah, these practices, these are actual practices of some people, you know, and they are very bad. But also there is some good as well. But I think pop culture, unfortunately, all we see is mostly the bad.
Right. Because I even when I think about it, there hasn't been, at least, you know, horror movie wise, of horror that I've came across where it's about voodoo that's something good. It's usually just something completely horrible and wicked. I didn't know that sometimes voodoo, there's like different kinds of voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking up, I came across that there are like 4 or 5 different ones. The ones that I normally come across, like in the movies, it's always like the Haitian voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember hearing about stories from my dad. My dad's actually Jamaican, but just hearing about stories from him having to do with voodoo and just some of like the creepiest stories.
I think it might have had to do... Well, I know, especially for some particular aspects of voodoo, I know some of it was the way it was derived, especially as far as practicing, was, you know, the whole idea of, you know, these are enslaved Africans brought over to other parts of the world, and they were kind of forced into Christianity, and that's why I think that's why some aspects of Christianity have seeped into some certain aspects of voodoo, because they couldn't practice their religion outright. So there were more secret ceremonies, or they using Christianity and particularly deities of Catholicism and things like that to kind of blend with the West African religious roots with, mm-hmm. you know, the European Christian ideas of, you know, faith and things of that nature. I'm saying it's all crazy, but you get the idea.
No, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that it's interesting, but not interesting down to the point where I would practice it or even go near it. You know, because you know how it is. Like, I'll watch from my home on TV, but I wouldn't go out there and go practice it to see if it's real or not. So do you feel like it's real?
I do think it's real. I think do you mean like the negative aspects of it, or the things that seem like kind of not unreal, but supernatural, so to speak?
I mean more of, yeah, like the supernatural. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that people practice it.
Yeah. I'm a believer in the supernatural. And it's for the very reason you just said, it's not something I want to mess with, because I have a personal conviction that it can be very dangerous, especially if you, one, don't know what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and two, the black arts is just, yeah, not for me. Yeah, it's just for the, I like watching the films.
Right.
I watch films. It's funny, not recently, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, think if you like horror, you're a devil worshiper or something
right.
crazy. I'm probably getting off topic, but, you know, I just want to preface to say that, you know, for a lot of people who are outside of the community, I'm like, no, some of us aren't, you know,
yeah.
or most of us. I don't know. Listen, bottom line, it's not something that I would mess with. No, but it is something I believe in. I think it's I think The Serpent and the Rainbow was based on an actual book by the scientist named Wade Davis, and
mm-hmm.
there's some scientific fact within the whole idea of the zombification process, because it is based in nature. The religious aspects of it are, you know, I guess is something left to the imagination for some people, because not everybody believes in the same thing, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone believes in the supernatural. That's, you know, that's fair.
Have you ever tried anything like voodoo or supernatural related? Never?
Nope.
Oh my God. Okay.
No. even when I was a kid, I was like, nope, never, no, nope. I just, my gut always told me to never, I never even entertained the idea. I know that my brother and my mom, they've seen spirits. I don't think they've seen malevolent spirits. I think they just saw spirits. I know, my brother, he would feel things around him, and he did see a close family friend of ours when she first passed. I think he actually saw her in his dream, in his dream, or just like or like in the twilight of the early morning. But yeah, I mean, I always knew that was something I never should ever.
you're smart. I tried something.
Mm-mm.
I know, okay? Look. So okay, you remember we had this conversation. No. I remember telling you what kind of high school I went to. So that's my defense, okay?
That ain't no defense.
Yes, it is.
Blaming them people.
So when I was in high school, I think I was a sophomore, and one of my friends, we were best friends at the time. We were hanging out at her house, and every single Friday, you know, we would always go to her house and watch like horror movies, you know, just have like a horror fest. And then one day, you know, one Friday she couldn't do it. She said, oh, me and whatever her name is, we're going to go do this. Well, I'll tell you what they're going to go do. She told me that they were going to go to the cemetery, right, with some other kids. And with a Ouija board and call some spirits up. She asked me if I wanted to go. I said no. I said, Teresa, what's wrong with you? You shouldn't do that kind of stuff. But she still did it anyway. The following weekend, we were hanging out. So I asked her, well, hey, what happened last weekend? How'd it go? Basically, she said that they took her car out to the cemetery. She wasn't, when they were driving in the cemetery, she didn't hit anything. She didn't come across anything or anything like that. She doesn't know how it happened. But a part of her car was smashed in. She doesn't know how. She doesn't know why, but it was. And I was like, oh, so are you still going to try it? And she was like, yeah. But what I did was stupid because she was like, oh, well, you know, this girl taught her how to make a Ouija board. So she was like, do you want to try it? And I'm sorry, okay? Like, I would never do it now. But back then, I was really curious. And I did. I watched so many horror movies, and I knew better, but I was curious. And on top of that, I'm black. So if anything would have happened, you know that I would have died first. I know it too. And she lived near the woods. So it's like, I don't know what I was thinking, but we tried it. I remember nobody else was home. I think her mom or parents went out somewhere. So it was just me and her in her room. And we were sitting on her floor. She made out the board, and we were like just calling to something. And when you first walk into her house, there was this like big, tall, like wooden closet, and it had like a very heavy door. I mean, really heavy. And there was no wind, and there was no air conditioning on or anything like that. You know, it wasn't cold or, you know, so it's like there was no breeze. There was nothing. Basically, we heard that big heavy door move. It was like, it was the most creepiest creak straight from out of a horror movie. And I said, all right, we gotta stop. We have to stop. So then we pretty much closed it up. And after that, I went home. She went back to her house and I told her good luck. And I put the past behind me and I slept fine. I don't know how she slept. I mean, I guess she said that she slept fine, but it was the weirdest thing because I've been to her house so many times, and that just that door, it's so heavy, so it's just like, as cliche as it sounds, it was not the wind. You know what I mean? And there was nobody in the house. She does not have a cat or a dog. She didn't have any siblings. So it's just like, okay, what was that? You know?
You can't mess with that stuff.
No.
I don't know. I guess, look, no. You don't know. Because you don't, but people who call out to think that dead loved them stuff, you don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
It's an apparition that could look like someone that you used to know, No, nope. Like, the dead is the dead. Mm-hmm. I am living, and I'm going to stay in the realm of the living. I am that black dude from Night of the Demons.
Roger!
My minister mother was like, my minister mother and my bishop uncle, I'm sorry, is like, they said, don't mess with that stuff. It's witchcraft. Nope. I'm that person. I love horror films. But that's as far as it goes.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, never tried anything like that again in my life. Left it in, you know, the past. But I'm not going to lie, though. When I was a kid, like 10, 11, 12 years old, I was so obsessed with witches. Like, I wanted to be a witch, but not in a dark, creepy kind of way. Because I remember watching the anime Kiki's Delivery Service. And I just thought that she was so cool, okay? And even, like, you know, Sabrina the Witch. So there was just so many cool shows that I loved about it. And it was crazy because I remember I would, like, go out, take my money that my parents would give me, and I would buy, like, little witchcraft books. Like, they had, like, teen witchcraft books and stuff like that when I was a kid. And I don't even think I tried anything. I think I just only had it. Like, had the books or something like that. But, I mean, I grew out of it. I'm not trying to, like, fly on broomsticks anymore. But, yeah. So, in my defense, I was a kid, and I liked the fun. It seemed the ones that I wanted to be like were, like, the cool ones. You know, Kiki and even Louise from Teen Witch. Like, they just seemed like they were having the time of their life. Like, it just seemed like a lot of fun.
I never wanted to be a witch. I always wanted to be a mutant or a werewolf.
That's cooler. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, witches get a lot of play, so you might be in the cool box for this one.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, now they're kind of getting, like, a bad rep now, you know?
What, witches?
Yeah.
Which movie? I don't know. What in general?
Okay, well, have you ever seen this movie called Little Witches?
Oh, is that the one on Netflix? Who was on the? Is that Theresa Box?
No, it looks like her, but yeah, it's not. Yeah, it looks like her. But there's that one. That movie. I'm just using this one as an example. That movie's god awful. Do not watch it. But just using that as an example, they find this ancient book and they start doing witchcraft, but it makes no sense. Like, they just get butt naked and start walking around some big old pot of water, and I'm like, what's the point of this? So it's like there's that got on my nerves, and then, you know, there's some killing involved that made no sense at all. It's just really stupid. There's also this other movie, Satan's School for Girls. You know,
I've heard of it.
Yeah, like whenever they, you know, associate witches with that kind of stuff, there's that. There's also, like, look at Suspiria. Like, that was a school of witches. Like, well, the teachers, you know. So
I have the soundtrack in my head. I've been listening to it all week.
It's such a, that goblin, but yeah, and then, you know, the Blair Witch Project, The Craft, Rosemary's Baby, Black Sunday, there's so many.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, yeah, like, I don't
want. But it's still, interestingly enough, that stuff's still appealing to people, especially The Craft. I'm not gonna lie, I'm laughing at all of you who are, like, who were so influenced by The Craft. I find it amusing, but not in a mocking way, just in a, like, that's funny to me. Because some people have some really funny stories about being fans of The Craft and taking it one step over the line. Mm-hmm. But I can see, because there's a lot of especially genre films that really influence me and influence my identity and the things that I've tried to do. But never anything in the realm of witchcraft, because just maybe because I've seen one too many horror movies, and for me, I'm just like, nope, that's probably real. So I'm going to stay open. 2 feet away from that at all times, but that's just me. I'm a scaredy cat. I'm a real life scaredy cat.
Nope, so am I. Like, I would never do that stuff now at all. But, like, I remember telling you, like, I used to want, like, a Ouija board, like, when I was, like, a kid, like, 8 years old. So, but I mean, now though, I'm can't live that life, so.
So I guess voodoo and witches kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
American Horror Story.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah, but movie-wise, Xena, you start us off. Give one of your favorite horror films that deal with voodoo.
Okay. Well, it was kind of hard to choose. I remember even telling you, like, I wrote out a whole list, and it was really, really hard to choose. But I decided to go with Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Came out
in 1972. I know it's more of like a comedy kind of a horror, but the whole storyline really scared me. For those of you who haven't seen it, it's basically about this guy who's a director, and he's traveling with some people who he calls his children, and he's telling them stories about this island that they're traveling to. I think that they're maybe like actors and actresses, not too sure, but basically he wants to do, their whole purpose for this is to have a seance at night so they can bring back this man who's dead, which he's pretty much carrying around this dead guy. He even named him Orville. I'm not too sure if that's his name or if he just named him that. But they pretty much came to that island to do that ritual to see if it would work. At first, like, people just thought it was a joke, you know, is this just supposed to be all fun and games? But when they tried it and nothing happened, and they saw that the main guy, who's the director, named Alan, that he was upset about it, then, you know, that nothing happened, then they start to realize that something was going on. Then throughout the night, you know, he continues to, I guess with the guy Alan, he just continues, like, he does like these crazy things to the dead body. Like, it's dark, but it's kind of funny. You know what I mean? Because it's like, why would you do that to a dead body? Like, I would never do that. The dead, they come back alive because the ritual works. And now they're coming for Alan and his group of people. Have you seen that one?
A long time ago. I don't remember. I remember bits and pieces of it, but I did see the whole movie, but I don't remember it very well.
I mean, it's not like the best movie, you know, or anything like that. And it's not fully like a serious movie, but I mean, I do consider it like a classic. It is low budget, but it's like, it does have like the voodoo in it, and it also have zombies.
Well, my favorite should be no surprise to people who know me. It is Sugar Hill from 1974. It stars Marky Bay, who is a Philadelphia native, I'm proud to say. She is Diana Sugar Hill. And basically, she is this beautiful woman. She's got this great boyfriend. He owns this it's kind of like one of those themes. It feels like a themed restaurant or bar or club. And they do these voodoo rituals for patrons and all kinds of cool stuff. But, you know, he gets shaken down by these thugs who want to take over his business, and he gets murdered. So Diana, she pretty much seeks revenge. She goes to Mama Maltrice, who is a voodoo practitioner, and tries to get the power to get her revenge. And she gets the help of Baron Samadi?
I don't know.
I can never say it myself. And he pretty much helps her get revenge on everyone. And there's zombies that come up, and there's the brides of Baron Samadi. I can't say his name. Come up and they help her get her revenge. It's really cool. It's one of the better blaxploitation horror films for sure. I haven't heard anyone really say they didn't like it. Many people do enjoy it. It's campy, but it also, I think, you know, for me, it said a lot about, like, you know, Black women and horror in general, especially in this time. It was, you know, she was this kind of anti-hero in a sense, you know, eye for an eye kind of a thing. She wasn't all good, but she wasn't all evil either, or bad, I should say. Not necessarily evil, but, you know, it's a very straightforward movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of liked her how she took the power. She tried to take the power back. You know what I mean? She wanted to avenge her boyfriend's death. Now that's the straight and narrow of it, but it's still a great movie.
Okay, I do remember that movie as well. The guy, Baron, was he? Did he play Baron? Like the voodoo? Was he like a voodoo, Like,
I think he was a Loa. If I'm, oh my god, I hope I'm saying this correctly. I think he was a god that they called upon to exact revenge. If I'm correct.
I thought that he looked. I like the movie as well. I just don't think that he looked dead. You know what I mean? Like, and I know it was like the 70s and everything. He just looked like, you know, like he was just working out and he got sweaty. But I like that movie as well. I especially like the zombie's eyes in it. That was really cool. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, they were kind of beautiful but kind of creepy at the same time. They weren't grotesque. They looked very polished, but they got the point across.
They did.
I don't think we've seen zombies like that since either. Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Which is surprising. Like, you guys are stealing everything else. So it's like, I don't know, still something worth it. God, that sounds so terrible. You know what I mean.
It doesn't sound... Okay.
Okay, well, be influenced by something a little different. Okay, so with the next one, I know I said that it's a movie that we don't like. Would you still want to just go with that? Or was there another, like, voodoo, like, horror that you liked?
Not one that really stands out. I generally like films that kind of deal with the theme, whether it's on the forefront or kind of the background. I couldn't even think of one I didn't like. I mean, I didn't watch it from the beginning to end, but The Believers, I think that was a movie that came out in the 80s. I think I maybe watched half of it, and I just was just utterly bored with it. Like, there was one of those movies that just didn't hold my attention. I think the pacing for me was kind of an issue, and also just the characters were a little dry and boring. I think the black guy who was supposed to be kind of evil, and you know, this black arts practitioner, he was I think if I were to describe the first half of the movie that I watched, I would say vague. It wasn't enough to hold my attention, so I can say The Believers, but at the same time I can't because I didn't see it all the way through.
Okay.
But that was one that I was kind of meh about. But all the other ones, you know, like Angel Heart, I mentioned Serpent and the Rainbow, which I'm looking forward to owning. I think Scream Factory is releasing that sometime soon. I don't know, because Scream Factory is doing like they're doing Shocker, they're doing The People Under the Stairs, and Serpent and the Rainbow. They're going to release these Wes Craven movies on Blu-ray, and I'm excited about that. But yeah, I mean, those movies, Eve's Bayou. So yeah, I like all of those. I don't have any problem with voodoo films in general.
Is that like one of your favorites, like favorite topics in horrors? Like, well, not topics, but
not necessarily. I mean, I just kind of I just tend to like those movies. I really like The Skeleton Key. I think I just saw that this year, and I really liked it. It's not. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite themes. I think for me, the first thing I'll always say is I'm a big fan of slashers. That was my hook into the genre in general. Most recently, I think I've mentioned a little bit on Twitter, for me, it's definitely James Wan and the Insidious franchise and The Conjuring and those movies. Like, as far as newer horror, that's where it is for me.
Right.
As far as mainstream. And of course, I like a lot of the independent stuff and a lot of short horror films. But yeah, the voodoo films in general, they're just movies I tend to enjoy.
Do you mind if I say just another one that I did like?
No, not at all.
Okay. I really, really like the movie Venom that came out in 2005.
I didn't see that yet.
You know, it's so unfortunate because it gets such bad reviews. And then on top of that, I don't feel like it wasn't like displayed properly, because around the time when it was released back in 2005, it was around Hurricane Katrina, and I remember I read an article where they did most of their promoting, because they filmed it there, they did most of their promoting there, and you know, with that tragic thing that happened, they weren't able to promote it all what it could have been, you know. And it wasn't the best movie in the world, I'm not saying that, but I really liked it. I thought it was creepy. And obviously, I watch horror movies because I want to be entertained and creeped out. And it did a great job with that. So if you ever get around to it, I'm not too sure if it's still streaming on Netflix.
I didn't know it was streaming on Netflix. I wish
I
would have known
that. At one point it was. I'm not too sure if it still is. So on to the one that I didn't care for, and I am so sorry for this. I really did not like The Serpent and the Rainbow.
I knew you were going to say that.
I didn't like it at all. I'm not saying I hated it. I just did not like it. Maybe it's for the stupidest reason. The storyline is completely, like, it's creepy. It really is a classic. But the thing that bothers me about this movie, the character Dennis, he goes to Haiti, Ashley, okay? For those of you who don't know what Haiti is, it's a country. And in that country, there are a lot of black people. But for some reason, out of all the women who was in that country that Bill's character was drawn to, lady was super light. It's like, out of all the women in the whole entire, like, country, though. So it's just like, that threw me off. And I was a kid, Ashley. I was a kid when I saw that movie, and I was really disappointed. It's like, I know, what does that really have to do with the storyline, Zena? How can that affect your whole thing for the movie? I don't know, but it did.
No, it can, because even as I enjoy the movie, it is a bit problematic. I find it really interesting that this movie, particularly, even though it is, quote, based loosely on a true story, I wouldn't say it's verbatim. I don't think anything in movie form ever is from, you know, the exact accounts of what someone went through.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it interesting that this movie gets greenlighted. I think it was I'm pretty sure it was a big studio release with a well-known director. But it's a movie, and once again, we have to yawn about this, about another white guy going into a black
mm-hmm.
country,
mm-hmm.
and the black people are evil, and he has to defeat the black evil,
yeah.
and he's
yeah.
the hero in the end, looking
yep.
like freaking... I forget the guy's name, Bruce Campbell,
mm-hmm.
and Evil Dead and stuff
yeah.
on the cover of the VHS tape or whatever. I don't know. I think that's kind of where I'm like, for
yeah.
me.
That's all I mean.
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, he's boning the black woman. He's got help from the do-gooder black... spiritual voodoo practitioner,
mm-hmm.
but then the evil voodoo practitioner, because he's the real dark-skinned one too,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's I totally understand where you're coming from. That's a very reasonable thing. That's a very reasonable excuse to not like this movie.
I mean,
and I agree with it. I think I like the imagery. Mostly, and I like the idea of it as a film, as it kind of works to induce fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's kind of where I kind of like it. But there are aspects of it where I'm just like, that's
yeah.
a little white supremacy.
But yeah, it's like, but even if I am wrong, because I'm not too sure, like, I don't know, maybe I was just getting too hyped up. You know, when you get so into stuff that you just keep on going and it's too late and you can't backtrack. But it's like, maybe I'm wrong. Well, I'm probably wrong because I haven't seen the movie in so long. Maybe she was Haitian. She probably was, but even if she was, though, like, I'm just being honest with you. She was the only Haitian on that island that I saw in the whole movie who looked like that. Like,
I feel like there was another, especially in maybe one particular scene, I feel like there was another white-skinned sister, but I could, again, it's been a while, but
yeah.
it's a male-centered story to begin with, so it just, she was like the token woman, actually.
Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of, not the storyline, but I remember we had like a conversation about Tales from the Crypt ritual. She goes to Jamaica, and then it's like, it's the white doctor, she goes to a country full of black people. Oh no, I have to save them, you know, from this voodoo cult. And it's just like, okay. You know, like, it's just, I just find it weird and strange. And the evil person, well, this movie came out in 2002. I can tell what happened, right? Like, or should I just
yeah,
leave it alone?
Spoilers, yeah. Spoilers.
All right, spoilers. Basically, it turns out it was her black friend in Jamaica who was actually against her.
I think, especially as I'm going to say it, as Black women, you know, race kind of informed some of the, how we see things a lot of times. And so there are things we consistently pick up from our own personal experiences, and then when we see them on film, we can kind of pick them apart much easier, because it's just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, because, you know, colorism is an actual thing that goes on. Ideas of, you know, anything that's non-Christian, non-European religious faiths, you know, in particular in voodoo, is always seen as evil or bad. And, you know, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's an important tenet to kind of look at when you're talking about these films. It's interesting because you're seeing something that's very consistent in, you know, especially in more contemporary films that deal with voodoo. Even in The Skeleton Key, it was about, you know, I forget her name, her real name, but it was about the blonde white girl. It was her story. Mm-hmm. And then you had, you know, Gerald Prescott, who played the woman who was the maid and her husband, and they were the evil voodoo practitioners, and they were, you know, taking over people's bodies, you know, mm-hmm. with their souls and all this kind of stuff. It's the same kind of dichotomy. It's all like, you know, it's the white person's story, and they're the good ones, and they're the heroes, and then the Black people who practice voodoo are evil. So
I did like Skeleton Key, like,
but yeah, again, it's just that's the thing. Like, it's still an enjoyable film, but mm-hmm. it doesn't take away from having a critical eye about it.
Right.
It kind of informs, you know, how people see how race is kind of seen in general, mm-hmm. or even concepts of white supremacy. That's just kind of a small branch on that tree. Home Alone at Night was released in 2014. The synopsis is, in the Iranian ghost town Bad City, a place that reeks of death and loneliness, the townspeople are unaware that they are being stalked by a lonesome vampire. This was written and directed by Anna Lily Amirpour. This stars Sheila Vand as the girl, Arash Marandi as Arash, Marshall Manesh as Hossein the junkie, and Mozhan Marno as Ati the prostitute, and also Dominic Rains as Saeed the pimp. So, I guess I've seen it before. I saw it in theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was super excited about seeing this movie. I heard really, really good things. So, since this is my second viewing seeing it, I want to start with you, Zena. What did you think? What was your initial reaction?
I didn't even know that it was going to be in black and white, which, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just like, I know that it's not the most original movie of the year or ever, you know, because it seemed like a little bit familiar. I love the way it was shot. Like, it's amazing. Like, that's really, really inspiring. It looks like there's times where it'll look like a horror movie, it'll look like a Western, it'll look like a romance. I don't know. I can't get over with how it looked, you know, rather if it was from like the far shots where it seemed like she was like framing it, you know, mm-hmm. into being like a landscape. It just looked like you can put that on your wall, or even with the close-ups, especially when they would have like the music playing like that, which this movie had an awesome soundtrack, by the way. At first, you know, I wasn't too sure with the dancing, like, cause it would make me laugh, and I don't know if that was supposed to happen, but so I was kind of questioning that. But overall, I really liked it. The main girl, does she have a name?
No, she's just called the girl.
Okay, yeah. Like, I thought that she was really awesome. She just comes off like she's mysterious and she's quiet, but she seems like she's like a hipster, you know? She's just walking around the streets of Bad City. It's like she's like a kind of like a feminist superhero, you know? It's like, it was really awesome, and just one of my, I had so many favorite parts. You didn't even ask me this, but, you know, I love, like I told you, like the slow motion dances. Even with some of the death scenes, and even with, you know, a couple of, like, with the bodies counting up. Honestly, the storyline isn't something that's new. I've came across it before. You know, I wasn't fully impressed with the storyline. Even though it's, like, I love the way the girl met Arash, his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they first met and he was dressed up as Dracula, it was so cute. Like, it was like they had a connection, and it's like, but it's like you're watching a horror, but it's, that wasn't fully horror, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely everyone, it's a genre blend for sure, you know, vampire, western, kind of a horror thing or whatever. I agree with everything that you said. It is a very pretty film. I think that's where kind of the kind of art house feel kind of comes in, because it feels like every frame is a portrait in and of itself. For me, it's funny, if I didn't hear the term feminist attached to it, I don't know if I would even have thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that I don't think that has any merit. I think it has all of the merit, but it's interesting. I think for me, I love films like this because, for me, how I see it, because it doesn't, there's a story for sure in it, but it doesn't seem very linear. For me, movies like this, like I feel like, I don't know, I wouldn't compare it to Ganja and Hess, but what mm-hmm. I would do is, I like the idea of what the filmmaker is trying to convey. For me, how I interpret it is kind of like, it's a movie that is immersed in these moments. And it's a movie that invites you to be very intimate with the characters. And it's not even about what you see on the screen necessarily. It's about what you see, but it's more about how you feel about it and what your interpretation is. It really makes you think about what the character is thinking, especially the girl. I like characters that don't have much to say.
Right.
And you can see it emoted in her actions or what she does. I think my favorite scene in this movie is when she's stalking the little boy.
Oh.
And then he looks back and doesn't see her. And then he kind of paces himself, but then he bumps right into her, and she won't let him pass. And she asks him if he's a good boy. I love it because it hits every beat perfectly, and there's something thrilling about it, because I don't know. Maybe I have a sick sense of humor where the idea of terrorizing a little kid is awesome to me. I think, if I were to look at it on the surface, I think, like, the overall idea of that is that, like, all of these men that, you know, are in this film, maybe except for Arash, are just very unpalatable, I guess I would say. And she's kind of piercing into him and terrorizing him to keep him on her idea of what the straight and narrow is. Arash is definitely kind of your hero of this movie. He's one of the quote good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's trying to keep that idea of a good guy with this little boy in doing that, but she does it in such a way that is so terrifying. But I just find it completely thrilling, and I loved it. And I just loved her real name is Sheila Vand. She's mm-hmm. an awesome actress, and I kind of loved how she took her time with, you know. And I think it's also about the direction of Anna and how she directed her actors in this film. I thought it was brilliant, because, you know, Some people can say the movie is too slow. I thought I liked the fact that it was slow, because it was that's the overall idea of this film. It's not supposed to be fast paced. It's supposed to, for me, you're supposed to kind of absorb it. Like it's not quick and fast and boom and gore, and you know it wants to get under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated that. And you're right. Everything you said, I agree with. I have nothing. Yeah, I don't know if I have anything bad to say about this movie. It's just a movie that I really enjoy.
Yeah. So did you have a favorite character?
Favorite character?
Yeah.
I liked the girl, really. Mm-hmm. Again, for me, because It's funny, but sometimes I watch characters like her. I think Michonne from The Walking Dead, like that first season we got to see Michonne and she didn't talk much. That's a Michonne I really liked. I like characters and I like actors who are you know, who are directed to, you know, you don't say much, so mm-hmm. you're acting, you have to really emote with your face and your body. And I love characters like that because I watch them and I watch, you know, their reactions to other people and what other people say to them. And to me, that's, I don't know, to me, that's really interesting. I think that's it's more personal for me because I'm a woman of few words verbally. It's absolutely no mistake that I'm a writer because I don't like saying much. I just kind of like being observant and I like observant characters, and she is very observant, and she also, I like the power that she wields. Her power is subtle. It's vicious. But then when it happens, like when she killed the pimp, it's like, yeah, you know, like
right.
it gets pretty gruesome, but it doesn't, but that's not the point of the film, or that's not all that you get out of it. And I like that. I like that she's vicious. I like that she has this restraint when she's with Arash in her bedroom or her apartment. So I like those kind of things about her.
Mm-hmm. I usually don't care for characters that are quiet all the time, and I, you know, just get annoyed easily because it's like, all right, it's 45 minutes now, you should be saying something. But honestly, I didn't feel that way with her. She kind of felt like she had a purpose with doing that. I know it's not the same thing, but even with Snow White and the Huntsman, and that movie, she was quiet majority of the time. I thought that the director purposely did that because she's kind of like bad at acting. But I mean, at the same time though, like after a while, it's like, it was a good movie, but it's like, okay, why is she, I'm getting really aggravated that she's just staring at that tree and they're like having a conversation, but I don't hear anything. There's no subtitles, like there's nothing. So, you know, I don't like that stuff. But like I said, with this film, it was completely different and I didn't really feel that way. So that was pretty cool. And it's like, it had a purpose.
Right.
As it goes with favorite character, I actually liked Saeed the pimp because it's like, yeah, he was your typical jerk and gangster and, you know, being rude to women, but he was funny. It was entertaining.
Is there any other aspects of the movie that you liked? I feel like we covered everything.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything else that you wanted to mention? A scene? Anything?
No, I think we did. I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I mean, for me, culturally, I think one of the other cool angles about this movie, because you said it's nothing you haven't seen before, but there are certain cultural aspects of it that I'm not used to seeing personally. I don't know what the film industry like is in Iran, or if they even have a vibrant one, if they do horror quite often or not, I'm not sure. But I think I liked the cultural hints that you see. Like, you see the television, you see what's on the television. I kind of like that. I liked when the pimp is in Arash's home and he's drinking the tea. That I think that is something. I think that is a Middle Eastern way of imbibing. I think it was tea. So just little hints like that I really liked. And also, I forget what it's called. Let me double check and see. I believe what the girl is wearing, it is, what is it? Forget what it is. Do you know what it is? It's not a hijab. It's something else. It has another name. Her garb, especially when she's out. Let me see. It's called a chador, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So I like the cultural hints to it. I think for me, what I really, really love is when a film, outside of just being super white, you know, a movie that has characters of a different cultural ethnicity or even race, that their cultural customs or where the movie is supposed to take place, that really comes out in the film without being, you know, without feeling cheapened or like, you know, overly over or like over overly used to the point where people are going to feel like they can't identify with the movie, if I'm saying this correctly. Mm-hmm. Just like a universal film with real characters, but, you know, their cultural customs from their particular city, town, or space is kind of introduced, you know what I mean? And right. Very, very subtly. Like, you see snapshots of the television in a scene, or you see the pimp. I won't keep calling him the pimp. What is his name?
Saeed?
Yeah, Saeed. You see Saeed drink the tea, or when you see Arash in the girl's room. You know, stuff like that I really like that kind of stuff. I think it's important.
Okay. I think so too. I did have a question. Did you like their dancing?
I didn't pay attention to the dancing like you did. I liked the soundtrack really. The soundtrack is distracting from the dancing because I did really like the soundtrack too. That's my kind of music. Okay, when Saeed was dancing, that was kind of silly.
Yeah.
But for me, when I was watching that scene, I wasn't thinking about how silly it was. When he was dancing, I just kind of, like, I was in his head. I'm just like, he's thinking, yeah, I'm the man. I'm dancing.
Yeah.
I got all the drugs and the money and this cool music from Europe to vibe to. So I'm on top of the world, you know. So that's kind of how I saw it. I didn't think about him being silly dancing. I saw a guy, he had a shirt open. I mean, it was very machismo in his presentation when the girl was just sitting there watching him.
Yeah, like, so, she really didn't care.
Yeah, it was very methodical. Her being very observant, so. Okay, well, I'm going to give this a 5. I'm going to give it a Blacker Than Blackula. Because you do see characters. I think there are no white characters in this film. I think all of these characters were people of color. I don't know if they're all Iranian. Mm-hmm. I think they're almost all of them are from some country from the Middle East. Written and directed by a woman who I think Anna Lily is Iranian, I believe. And so all around, this film is kind of awesome for that aspect. It totally tips the scale as far as being representative of being, it feels like a foreign film, but it's not a foreign film.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like that you don't see all white characters, and you see no white characters, which I find refreshing as well. Sorry.
No, it's funny, but. I'm actually going to give it a 4, Demon Knight, Jada Pinkett. Not because, you know, it's like, oh, it's missing this. Simply only because I didn't really care for the ending. Because I wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
From it. Like, I wanted to see, you know, well, what's going on. Then it just left me hanging.
All right. So that concludes our overview of A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. And we'll be back to close out the show. So that's it for the show. We're going to close out with some recent movie watch recommendations. And I'm going to start with Zena again. I'm going to give one.
Movie Gin. It's streaming on Netflix. Originally, it was made in 2010, but it was released in 2014. This movie was so awesome. Like, I was looking forward to it when I heard about it last year, and it did not let me down. It's a horror, but there's some action in it. There's some thriller. Like, it's streaming on Netflix. It's available. I mean, I did come across some reviews where people's like, oh, I hate that. And you know how some people can be. But also, just the last thing, what was pretty cool about it, it is like an independent, you know, movie. It doesn't have the highest budget, but to be honest with you, it looks visually amazing. There are some creepy parts in there. It's not like the scariest movie you've ever seen, but it was still very awesome.
So, for me, my most recent watch that I enjoyed, I did like it, was Insidious Chapter 2. Again, I'm probably going to be an Insidious apologist. If they keep on with this series, I'll probably... I feel like I'm going to like every single movie. I love the Insidious franchise. Love it, love it, love it. I would definitely, if you like James Wan films, if you like Insidious, a lot of people are kind of meh about Chapter 2. Most people, you know, really enjoy Chapter 1. I love all of them. Chapter 3, if you like the concept of The Further, if you like Lin Shaye as Elise, I think you will really enjoy Chapter 3. I liked it because it became her story. I like that aspect of it. The other parts, like the family that she's helping stuff, they're not as captivating as the Lamberts, but it's interesting. They made an interesting choice this time to make Lin Shaye kind of the focus of the film, and she was the one with the arc. I thought that was really neat. So I don't want to give away too much because it is a brand spanking new movie.
Yeah.
I really liked it. If you can get out to the theaters, please go see it. It's Blumhouse. They put out some really, really great movies. Just support, you know, just support horror so we can keep getting horror in theaters. I would say that, if anything.
Are there any upcoming horrors that you're looking forward to?
They're all in, like, September and stuff. Like, Cooties is the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
I am so ready for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait to see it. That's one I really cannot wait to see.
Mm-hmm. That one does look good. There's one that I'm looking forward to that as well, but there's one, it's coming out in September as well. The Visit. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, but again, there's so many movies coming out, and it's hard for me to keep track of everyone.
It's,
okay.
It's from Blumhouse. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's from Blumhouse, so it's like, is it Blum or Bloom?
People say either or.
Okay,
but I don't think it really matters.
Okay, well, it's from them, and so that's what sparked this question.
It took me a second because I saw the trailer twice when I went to the theater, and so at first, because I'm watching it and I'm seeing the trailer, and I'm just like, and for me, like, okay, like, follow me. So I'm like, I'm watching it, and I'm seeing certain scenes, and they're flashing, of course, there's a trailer. I'm just like, is that 30th Street Station? And it took me a second because I'm just like, who shoots in Philly? M. Night Shyamalan. So I'm like, okay, this is his movie because there are markers, there are background shots where I'm just like, okay, I've been there 1,000 times before. So I'm like, okay, this is Philly. This is a Philly-based film. So it's got to be M. Night Shyamalan. It sure enough is. People, it's so funny. Like, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because The Visit looks really good.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Let's pretend that The Happening and what was the other movie? Devil. Let's pretend those were nightmares, okay, people? Let's put them aside. Let's remember Signs and The Sixth Sense, and hopefully he gets back to that. And if this is a really, really good movie, let's hope. Let's just hope for one.
I mean, that's how I thought as well, but I really didn't think that Devil was that bad. Like, mm-hmm. I know that people freaked, were like, well, The Happening was just terrible, but Devil really wasn't that bad. Like, for me, it wasn't. Part that freaked me out when I just didn't want to live on this planet anymore was when, I don't know if you remember, and this is an old movie, okay? It came out in 2010, okay? It's 5 years old, so, yeah. When the lady, this old lady, she says, and she's the devil. Today, I'm an old lady. Today, Ashley, who knows what he is tomorrow? So it's just like, that just stuck in my head. And it just freaked me out for the rest of my life.
Fair. Everyone has that thing. Everyone. Mm-hmm. There are parts of like, I don't like stuff like, I don't like stuff like that either to the point where it scares me. Like, I enjoy it as a film, but yeah, it does kind of stick with me. I remember hearing one story about someone who saw The Conjuring with a friend of theirs, and when they came back to her apartment, her Venetian doors were open, and like, hey, did you leave this door open? No. So yeah, it's like, you know, ghost stories, you know, stuff that deals with like the occult and the devil, they freak me out. I can watch Paranormal Activity like a boss, but it still frightens me, like, especially part 3.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not to get off topic, but it's so funny to me that this little girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
All this weird stuff is happening in her house, right? I think in Katie, right?
Yeah.
And so she wants to play, she still wants to play Bloody Mary? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, put it on. I hate to say it, but I'm like, little sister, you were asking for it. Okay?
Exactly.
Asking for it. If you think it was smart to play Bloody Mary, when you know all this weird stuff is going on with your sister in the house. But anyway, I can totally understand what you're saying. Like, everyone has that one thing. Like, for some people, it is Jaws. For some people, it's other stuff. Other aspects of horror films that kind of just get under your skin. It's fun. At the end of the day, it is still fun. So, I think that wraps up the show. You want to tell people where they can find you on social media?
Sure. So, you can find me, Zena, first at www.realqueenofhorror.com and on Instagram, Lovely Zena. And you can also find me on YouTube, Real Queen of Horror.
And I am Ashley. I'm the founder of Graveyard Shift Sisters. Basically, you can go to graveyardshiftsisters.com. That's the blog. I'm mostly on Twitter, at Graveyard Sister. Instagram, Graveyard Sister. Also, Tumblr is graveyardshiftsisters.tumblr.com. And please like the Facebook page if you can. If you're on Facebook, I don't know. People like Facebook or don't like Facebook or don't like being on it. But if you are, it's facebook.com/graveyardshiftsisters. For all things Black woman in horror, you go there.
Okay, thank you all for listening. Have a glorious week, time, I don't know.
Thank you for listening. Till next time.